God's amazing grace, how sweet it is. Turn in your Bible today to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I had this sermon done once, read it to my wife, which I don't typically do, but I said, I want to read this to you, see if it makes sense. She was a little confused. I think she thought maybe I had too many bunny trails were going down. And I ripped it up and I started over. Because I want it to be a simple message, but I want everybody to understand. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him also we have access by faith in this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What justifies us before God? What brings us back into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father? Our faith in Christ. By accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. Through Christ, we are reunited with the Father. Look at verse 1 again. So it's Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by what? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. In verse 12, it says this. Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. Sin has separated mankind from God, and there is only one way back through the only begotten of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only name that we may be saved through is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other. Muhammad's not going to get you there. Buddha's not going to get you there. None of these people are going to get you there. There is only one, and his name is Jesus. There are not many ways to God. There is only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one. He is a propitiation for our sins. He paid the penalty with his life, and the very essence of his life was the blood. And when you accept Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, you then are under the blood of Jesus. When the Father looks upon us, he looks upon the righteousness that we have through Christ, and it's through his blood that we are justified today. Christ gave us life, his life, so we could have life. In verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, meaning what? Man can't save himself. You can't save yourself. You can't buy your way into heaven. You cannot earn your way into heaven. In verse 6, he says, but for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. The ungodly, because you are in your sin. He died so we could be received back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. By accepting Christ, we are accepting his sacrifice for us, his blood atonement. We are under his blood by faith. It is not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. If we look at verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as though through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have what? All have sinned. It's by God's amazing grace that you can be saved today. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, or verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy towards us because of his great love, with which he loved us. even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. That unmerited favor, that undeserved act that he shares with us. And because of that, in verse 6, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Mankind has to be saved. Mankind has to be saved. But we cannot save ourselves. It is by the grace of God. Undeserved, unmerited, it is a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God that everyone needs, but few choose. It is by God's grace that you and I can be forgiven. We cannot be forgiven without it. We deserve death. We deserve eternal separation from God. Why? Because of our sin. But instead, by grace, he gives us forgiveness. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. Grace is that gift. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, go back to Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace. Now think about it just for a moment. Of all the riches that God has, which is the most valuable to you and I? Of all the riches that God has, which is the most valuable to you and I? Now turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we go down to verse 11. And it talks about the prodigal son, or the parable of the lost son. My Bible says the parable of the lost son. Yours might say the prodigal son. And I believe that the heading couldn't be the prodigal sons, not just one, but two, or lost sons. And let me explain. We think of prodigal as meaning the son that left, wasted his life, and then came back. That's what we think that prodigal is. And all of us can relate to the youngest son. I can relate to him in my own life that I was away from God, finally recognized that life itself did not have an answer for me, and then I needed to turn to God himself. And when I did, I felt like I was that prodigal son that was returning to our Heavenly Father. But prodigal in the Webster Dictionary says this, it almost has a dual meaning. Number one, there is an extreme abundance on one hand, and on the other hand, that extreme abundance was wasted. So there's an extreme abundance, and there was an extreme abundance available for this young man. But he took that extreme abundance and he wasted it on riotous living. Now, verse 11 says this, then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And that first son is the one that most of us can relate to. Now, remember that the meaning of a parable is to teach a spiritual lesson. So the father in this story represents who? It represents God. Some of us can represent the first son or the youngest son, that I was away from God and I returned to God. So he or she walks away from God or doesn't walk with God for whatever reason. What was your reason for not walking with God? So let's go on with the story. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country and then wasted his possessions with prodigal living, riotous living. He threw things away. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to a young Jewish man. Swine were an unclean animal. They wouldn't eat it. They wouldn't touch it. Most certainly, they wouldn't take care of it. This is the worst thing that could happen. And many times we, when we read this story, and I know there's been hundreds of sermons that have been preached about it, and you probably have listened to 40 or 50 of them if you're very old, but there's something here that we're missing. There was something here that we're missing in this story. Because we can say, well, I went out and I had riotous living. I used to drink. I used to smoke. I used to do drugs. I got so far down there was only one way to look, and that was up, and then I saw God. We can relate to that. But there's something that is missing in this story that we want to make sure that I bring out to you today. Now, I asked you earlier, of all the riches God has, what is the most valuable to you and I? You see, spiritually, verse 12 and 13 isn't about money, and it's not about stuff. When you read verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. So it's not about money. It's not about stuff. It's about wasting the grace of God. They didn't utilize it. He didn't take advantage of it. You and I cannot go to heaven on our own merit. We can't buy our way there. There isn't any way that you can get there. But everybody in this room wants eternal life. But it's only through the grace of God that we can make it. The spiritual lesson here is don't waste the grace of God when he has given you such a gift that is available to you. It is without price. It is without price. The most valuable of all the riches God has for us is his grace. There is no forgiveness without grace. Without it, there is no forgiveness. There is no eternal life. There is no peace. There is no blessings. What price do you put on that? I say it's priceless. The only reason that you are blessed today is by the grace of God. The only reason that you have eternal life today and have a relationship with your Heavenly Father is by the grace of God. The only way we can be forgiven is by the grace of God. The only way that you have a blessing in life is by the grace of God, because it was unmerited, it was undeserved, but God wants to do everything within his power to make sure you have it. If you look at the parables that are before this one, there's two that come before it, the parable of the lost coin and the parable of the lost sheep. God will do anything to call you home, and not only call you home, but meet you running to you. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve such a loving God that he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son so you could have life. And when you think that you're coming to Jesus, he's running to you. I'll never forget the night that I was saved. And let me tell you, you've heard my story before, but I'm sure there's still fingerprints in that pew. I did not want to go forward. I'd been fighting it for weeks, and probably months that I'd been fighting it, and the Lord was kept tarrying with me. He kept calling me forward, and I wouldn't respond to it. But the night I got up, as soon as I stood up, the Lord was there. I didn't have to go to the altar to find him. The Lord was coming back from the altar to find me. By the grace of God, there go I. I don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. That's what's amazing about the grace of God. The USA is filled with prodigal living, wasting the extreme wealth of God, and that extreme wealth is His grace, doing their own thing. In verse 17, it says, but when he came to himself, but he realized before it was too late, he needed that grace more than he did anything else. In verse 17, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. My beloved son, you belong to me. I have been waiting so long for you to come. And when he returned, the father was, I mean, there is no greater illustration of the love of God that he loves you so much. You know how much God loves you? He didn't remember that he had left him. He didn't remember that he was in waste. It wasted things. He didn't remember that he was in prodigal living. He didn't remember that he had taken all the gifts that God had given him and he had wasted it. He only remembered one thing. There is my beloved son and I've been waiting for him to return. That's the kind of God you serve. You can't out-sin the grace of God because His grace is available to each and every one of us. Don't you ever think that you have done something so bad in your life that God could never forgive you. There was nothing else that this young man could have done to drive himself any farther from the Father. But when he came back, the Father was there to greet him just as he is you or I. When you return to God, He's running to you. And what He was holding out in His hands was grace. Here it is. It's yours. Here it is. I want you to have it. Receive it. It is yours. I give my own son's life for you to have it. And what about the oldest son? We haven't even talked about him. You see, he needed the grace of God too. You see, he thought he had done everything by his own merit. He earned the right to heaven. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus? He says, what must I do to be saved? He talked about the commandments, and the rich young ruler says, I have done all those things. I have kept those things from my youth. And the Lord Jesus says to him, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. Well, he had great wealth. He couldn't let go of that. He had earned that right to heaven. You see, the older son thought he had earned that right because he had always been there. Well, what the teaching is he's talking to the Pharisees. Just because you have a form of godliness doesn't mean you're godly. And that was what was taking place in his life. And the teaching here is that the young man had needed the grace of God, and the one that was the older brother needed the grace of God too, just like you and I do. Everyone needs the grace of God. Look at all I have done, he said, but he didn't realize he needed the same grace that the first son needed. You see, we are all sinners. No one's better, no one's worse. It's only by the grace of God that you are saved. Which of us needs that grace? We all need that grace. No one is ever on the outside or outside of God's grace. Have you ever met the Father? He's running towards you. The scripture says, no one can come to me unless he's drawn. Who does the drawing? The presence of the Holy Spirit. And maybe there's somebody in this room today that was drawn by the presence of the Holy Spirit to come and see the Father through Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your divine presence that is in this place. Oh, Father, we all need your grace so much. It's by your grace that we're saved. It's by your grace that we receive anything in you, and we praise you for that. Will you stand with me today? Father, we just praise you for the wonderful time that we've had today in the presence of you that we feel in this place today. Not because of this place, but because of the church, the body of Christ. That you are in the midst of the body. And we praise you forevermore for that, Father. I pray that, Lord, we would not leave here the same, not by the words that I have shared, but by the presence of you that each and every one felt today. That, Father, we would just feel a little nearer and a little closer to God. Father, bless this church family. Open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon all of them. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.